Good morning. It's a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, yesterday we watched Democrats unveil articles of impeachment, charging President Trump with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. And then right from that to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing an agreement on the North American Trade Pact, which many Democrats are a little miffed by as seeing it as a major win for Trump amid the impeachment.
Well, actually, what it proved was that when necessary and when appropriate, Pelosi and the Democrats would get together with the president and with the Republicans. Now, look, what happened here was Trump put forward a NAFTA replacement, which was really quite severe. Pelosi came back and got guarantees, for example, labor guarantees and car manufacturing guarantees and a whole bunch of stuff that was not in the original agreement. And as a result, they said, okay, now we're going to prove that when we have to, we will work with this president. And of course, the press is doing its job and pointing out all the differences between what Trump wanted and what the Democrats actually agreed to. One thing I found fascinating is that my congressman, who I consider a wonderful man, Richie Neal, was front and center for the whole thing. Apparently, he negotiated the whole thing. You know, it was interesting because Pelosi obviously is very, very strong on Neal and gave him a lot of time before the national audience yesterday. So it's something to keep your eye on because Richie Neal, who was once a fairly obscure guy, gets to be the head of the Ways and Means Committee. It's certainly one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful committee in Congress. And people in Western Massachusetts understand that when you have that kind of power, you can bring home the cookies.
Meanwhile, Trump was feeding his supporters cookies at a rally in Pennsylvania, metaphorically, of course, calling the articles of impeachment flimsy, pathetic, and ridiculous. He says they're embarrassed by the impeachment and our poll numbers have gone through the roof because of their stupid impeachment. He added later, Alan, they're impeaching me because they want to win an election. That's the only way they can do it.
Well, of course, we know one thing about Trump, and that is that you can't stop his mouth from moving, and if his mouth's moving, he's probably lying. He says his poll numbers are way up. They are not. On the contrary, they're exactly where they've been. You know, when all else fails, just lie, and his people cheer. It is reminiscent of a time earlier in the 1900s when other people came to power, and one of the things that is so important to remember here is that if you let him... And I think Chairman Nadler made the point that if you let him get away with just one more election, that would be one more too many. So there'll be an impeachment vote. The Republicans in the Senate are beginning to get nervous about this. And there are reports this morning that there are some differences between McConnell and Trump about the way the trial in the Senate, which inevitably will happen after they vote articles of impeachment in the House, that those two guys are not having a happy time of it because McConnell's deal is he has to protect his members. And that is not going to be easy because all you need is a fall off of some. We're at the point now where the polls are half and half. Half the people in this country want him impeached, and they want him removed. That's a lot of people, David.
And as you say, they differ. McConnell wants this thing to go quickly while Trump wants a show. He's made clear to his advisors that rather than end the trial quickly as possible, he's hoping for a dramatic event, including wanting Hunter Biden, Representative Adam Schiff, and the whistleblower to testify.
Well, Trump always makes noises about what he wants. He wanted to testify before the Mueller people, but somehow he didn't get to do it. He wants a show trial in the Senate, and somehow it's not going to happen. He claims he wants things, but does he really? I doubt it.
This from the AP this morning, the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi toasting the media after articles of impeachment were announced Tuesday, celebrating reporters on Capitol Hill at a special holiday event. She raised her glass and toasted the press as the, quote, guardians of democracy after unveiling the articles of impeachment.
I'm sure we'll be talking about that on the Media Project this week, but that's right, David. You know, here you have a president who, like former people who took over governments and political systems, called the press the enemy of the people, the enemy of the people. This is extraordinary, and Pelosi's right to toast the press. Now, is all the press always right? No. Read the New York Post sometime. But the fact of the matter is that it is not a good thing for this country to be saying the press is the enemy of the people.
The president has suggested now that he lacks confidence in the FBI director because the director did not share his view of a long-awaited Inspector General report. We talked about the report yesterday. We also have Barr criticizing the FBI and defending Trump as well.
Wait. Are you telling me that this president is now criticizing severely and implying that he's going to fire him by saying he's the FBI head for now? Are you telling me he is going after the same man that he appointed to the job after he fired Comey? You mean when the FBI does its job and when a guy tells the truth, you fire him? This is undermining an awful lot of confidence in the FBI. And I got to tell you, my bet is that the FBI agents who are out there are very unhappy about this.
Finally, the entire Ukraine diplomatic kerfuffle now has seen the meeting between the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, and the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. Apparently, according to the New York Times and a news analysis, they met face-to-face seeking to end the war in their border region. It appeared to be a draw rather than Putin domination, some had feared, but some of this stuff from Ukraine forcing him to meet and negotiate with Putin.
Not only that, but you had people like Macron of France sitting at the table trying to make this thing go smoother. Look, the fact of the matter is that in the beginning, Trump had all the cards. He was saying, do us a favor and we'll help you out and give you some money to fight the Russians with. That, of course, forced Zelensky back to the negotiating table with Putin. If he didn't force him to, he saw the advantage of doing it. And now it looks like maybe something positive will come out of all of this.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, joining us. As always, we appreciate your thoughts.
Blessings to you, David.